Welcome to each and everyone this morning. It's a grand day to come together in the Lord's house, and we're so glad that you're here and a part of it. And hopefully you had a good week in the Lord. The Lord blessed you in a good way. Hope that you appreciated that and hope you enjoyed a good week in the Lord. Welcome to each and everyone this morning. I want to begin this morning by reading from our text that we'll use later on. And ask you to bear with me, because I'm a poor reader, as you know, and there's several verses. And I want to share with you chapter 3 of the book of Daniel. If you who have your Bibles want to turn to the book of Daniel, I'll give you a minute to do that. And only thing, don't listen to me, but listen to the words that is spoken here, and then we'll use this for our text, and it'll take just a few minutes to do this, so be patient with me, if you will, please. And it reads like this. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together his princes and the governors and the captains and judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes and the governors and the captains and judges and treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and he stood before the image of Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall at the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackcloth, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people of the nations and the language fell down and worshiped the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackcloth, the psaltery, and a dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worship that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set up. Thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, have not regarded thee. And they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought those men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you ready that it would be that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" He says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the old king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in that matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve the gods, thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vision was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore spake and commanded that they should be heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men of that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosiery, and their hats, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command that he be urgent, that the furnace exceedingly the flame and the fire slew these men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, thou, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt on their. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the kings, and the counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whom the bodies of fire had no power, nor was a hair on their hair since, and their coats their changed, nor the smell of fire that passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which spake and anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Amen.
For him of worship this morning, using 213, first and fourth verse, and Virgil will have a prayer. This whole thing.
He lifted me within your hand.
creator of all things. We thank you for the daily blessings that you give us. You give us grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness. And we come down and ask for that forgiveness when we fall short. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
For communion hymn, using 296, sing the first and fourth verse.
Our Heavenly Father, as we come to this time of our worship service, we're so thankful that we have this table spread. We're so thankful that Jesus instituted it for us, and he told us to partake of this and remember us in him. Heavenly Father, is a great reminder of us, of your wonderful love for mankind. It's a great reminder of what Jesus did for us there at Calvary, prepared a place for us to, Heavenly Father, made it possible for us to have a right relationship with you, made it possible for us to have the hope of eternal life, dear God. So help us to never, ever forget that, dear God. But we thank you that we have this time to come together, this table to remind us. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, you'll bless us as we partake of these emblems. Might you be honored. Might we recognize Jesus, who the wonderful Savior that we have, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Father in heaven, thank you again for this privilege to gather us together in your house, Lord, today. And we pray about your portion of the day. We pray about the ability.
You already know it, but we'll remind you. Next week, we'll be going over to Corinth Church to join in a hymn sing. And before that, at 3 o'clock, the His Majesty Messengers are going to have a program over at Stamping Grounds, their cantata, Higher Ground. And that's going to be at 3 o'clock next Sunday. So some of the ladies are going to be busy with that. So it's going to be a busy time for them to rush back to be part and sing for us at our hymn sing also. So we thank you for that. Let's see. I want to ask you to think about it and let me know. Maybe not next week, but I'd like to invite or whoever would like to work on our centennial thing for this fall to let me know that you're willing to do that and you want to be a part of that. And quite a bit of work needs to be done in preparation for that. And so we'll have a great homecoming that day and celebrate the 100 years of this church building here in worship, that God has blessed this community with it. And so we need several people to gather up materials and help us to put that together. And we don't have as many folks now as we used to have that has all that history, but there are ways to gather it up. I've got some of it from what Mrs. Marshall has shared with me, but you'll need to go back, and we'd like to have pictures and So you had to meet with people like Pauline, she's one, and Norma Jean here, and maybe a couple others that has a lot of the background of the church, and some of you people that has some, probably Virginia's probably got a lot of things from her mother back in those days, and we could borrow some of your pictures and run off some so we could have for the way back or whatever it might contribute to help us to do that. So keep that in mind, and prayerfully, if you would like to be a part of that, if you're willing to help us to do that, let me know, and we'll get together and get started on that. It'll take some time for us to get that together. All right, and... That's why we're all going to get together and do all that. Yeah. Okay. No dates.
Okay.
What else? Okay, the no birthdays today. Hate it. Dudo and Vernon, they just celebrated big last weekend. they cake for 2 days, I think they said. Happy birthday to them, yeah. All right. Turn to our prayer list then. And Judy Cox, I was told that from the people that's sharing with me, Judy Cox is very much in need of prayer. She can't walk, and she's got a real positive attitude about life. And so pray for her in a special way. These other folks, keep them in your prayers. Pray earnestly for them, each and every one of them. We're so thankful that... some of our folks, we've seen them blessed this week, and we're so grateful for that. God is so good. This Kenny Dyer that's on there, that is akin, folks, of Pauline and Doodle back there, or Doodle back, mentioned to me. And this man was burning some brush and somehow or another caught fire and had a terrible burn. Went to Lexington, drove himself to Lexington, and they flew him, I guess, probably, to Cincinnati to the burns unit. And so he is... tragically burnt, and so be in much prayer for that. That has to be a terrible, terrible thing. We're so thankful that Judy is here this morning, and she's taking some, they've got her on some medicine right now, and she says the headache's still there, but she's not feeling it like it was, and if that doesn't work, they're going to do something else, but we're going to pray that those things, what she's doing right now will work, that those headaches will be rid of and gone away, that they won't be there. And but we're thankful that you have been relieved of some of that. That's for sure. I know you, the way you were and so forth, it was terrible, terrible pain. And our piano player over here, lovely piano player, knows what that's like too. And some of you other folks that has had those, it's not pleasant. And let's see. Then the young man that is mentioned on here from Stamping Ground needs our prayers, the nation, and all the service people, and certainly the leaders of our nation. You know, I hope I didn't watch it. I just read some inserts about the funeral of Barbara Bush and read of some of the things that took place. And I hope that will be a little bit of making our nation come together a little bit better. Some of the things that was spoken there that ought to make the people realize, you know, some of the things. And I didn't hear what the president's, the what do you call her, the lady of the house, White House. I understand that she had a very good thought and talk there. That and so I just hope and pray that whoever said what will be a way to, will be effective for our people and the nation to draw them together. We really need some healing of our nation, that's for sure. And great. The care people, the takes care of the people in the nursing homes and so forth, just keep them in mind. We're hoping and praying that springtime comes and people like Dell and Vi, that they'll be able to get out some and be with us. Mrs. Gaines, not doing well, but we do hope that she will be. And, you know, I really hope that she'll be able to be with us during the year, the whole year. I hope that she'll be able to be here. And she can probably tell you a few things. But we got our main people that we know that has been here all that time is Omer, Norma Jean, Pauline, those people like that. So, but we do pray that those people will be well, they'll be strengthened, be well, be able to be with us. And so much to be thankful. God is so good. And we heard this week from different ones how that things have blessed people that we know. And Ron had a meeting with some of his friends, and some wonderful things happened for some of his friends, for one of his friends especially, that has had cancer, and things is working out so good for them. We just praise God for these good things that are happening in people's lives. And God is at work, and God is doing great things, and God will do great things. And he's concerned about what we're concerned about also. And so if we need to be concerned, we need to be talking to God about the people that we love and love to see him work in their lives.
Now, for prayer, him using number 426, saying the first and fourth verse, and Doodlebug will have a prayer. That's all said.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary ones upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Father, we thank you for blessing each of us today for being in the house. We're thankful that we have a building. We pray, Lord, for the ones that are here that they might be a shining light for the community tonight today. As we take this special time, we ask you, Lord, to bless those on the prayer list. Whatever their unique situation may be, we know that you can make it better. We pray that you be with Judy and her headaches and be gone. We pray for them. Forgive us when we fail them.
Imitation hymn number 358, 358. Now at this time we have a special reflect about it. Virginia.
And Kathleen.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings
its most lofty height, I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh shall drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour.
Thank you, Kathleen and Virginia, for your special there. It's very blessed. Thank you so much. To the third chapter of the book of Daniel, and I'll tell you I won't be reading a chapter again. I wish I could read good and fast, but I can't. But I wanted you to just get some thoughts in your mind there of what's taking place there in chapter 3. You know, because life isn't easy, and sometimes it deals with us, a rotten hand. And it happened to these young men here from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By faith, though, that we face them, we come through them, and greater things will happen. I entitled the message here, Fireproof Faith. And you know, I believe, as Jesus said, I really believe that when he was talking about hell, that it's going to be a fiery place. It's going to be a hot place. Sometimes, you know, we talk about, boy, our fire, and it just means that things is just tough and rough and hard. And so we look at life sometimes that way. Things are tough. We're living right now at a pretty rough, hard time, and I think we need a fireproof faith. We need a faith that'll withstand the pressures and the heat that is going on today. And so chapter 2, you remember that we talked about Nebuchadnezzar had the dream. Daniel, then God showed Daniel the meaning of the dream and the meaning, and he was then able to converse that to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar had set him up, you know, in a high place and so forth. And the one thing, though, that if you remember that Daniel said, God told me this dream, and here's what it says. And the long story short is the fact you're going down. Your kingdom is going to be done away with. And four kingdoms is going to rise, and your kingdom is going to be done away with. Now, when we come to chapter 3, to help us get a little bit of what's taking place here, there's probably a 20-year period of time between the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. And so then you can realize what's going on and things are taking place. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, as we said, you know, he thought he was king of kings, you know, and which he was. He ruled the land that day. He was the ruler of the land. He had conquered all there, and he was authority over. And now he says to himself, he said, and I paraphrase some of this and share just some of my thoughts, that he's saying, you know, okay, Daniel says his God, that God that's in heaven, says that this, my rule is going to be crushed, done away with. I'm going to see that it's not. And so during this 20-year period of time, if that's the length of time, there's a great period of time between that, we know. During this time then, Nebuchadnezzar tries to set things in place that his kingdom wouldn't go down. And so one of the things was that he was going to stay in charge forever over all the land, over all the ones. And as we've seen there, he called all the people in. And Daniel has told him, and so Nebuchadnezzar now wants to prepare so that everybody will bow down to him. He wants everybody to look at him. He's the greatest. He is the greatest. He is the most powerful. And truly, he was the most powerful on earth that in his day there at that time. So he made this great image, this monstrosity of a thing. this great thing, and he calls everybody together, as we read in the scripture. If you notice, he's calling all the leaders, all the men of authority over all these lands. That's who he has there. He doesn't have all the people there. He has all the leaders there, and those people then will be able to infiltrate this into their people, and the whole population then will look up to Nebuchadnezzar. He's the mighty one. He's the power. He's the ruler, and they will worship him. And as we read here, that as the music sounds, and I wonder about this music. He talks about this music when I, you know, when the Israelites were coming through the wilderness, and they stopped, and you know, and they worshiped. They had begun to worship false gods, pagan gods, with some of the Amorites and so forth and such, and some of the Moabites that they run across, and it says that they worshiped. They had a worship, and it said that they worshiped, and they had loud music and loudness and so forth, and God was displeased with that, naturally. But anyhow, we have here this loud sounding instruments of music. I sometimes wonder if that's where this New Age got that. I don't know. From Nebuchadnezzar and them, you know, boy, I mean, I pictured as I read that, boy, there, I mean, you got to get earplugs. Nebuchadnezzar has got all this sound. He said, when you hear this, man, you bow down and worship, you know, worship this image, which actually was worshiping him and set up to be worship to Nebuchadnezzar here. And so he says, if you don't, and so the warning was out. And as I told you last week, Nebuchadnezzar was a pretty weird guy, and he could do about anything. He could think up of any kind of a thing to punish anybody. And we can see some things here. And if we knew what really happened there, I forget the word you might want to use. It was terrible things to do to a human being. But he says that if you don't, and the decree went out, if you don't fall down and worship, you're going to be cast into this fiery furnace. Now, probably this is in Dura, and you know what took place there, don't you? And these furnaces is probably left over from the brick making of the Tower of Babel. Well, that's where they're at. That's the area. It's in the province of Babylon. That's really where Babylon got its name, from the word Babel. Babylon then derived from that. And so it's very possible these furnaces then were kill, whatever you call those furnaces that dries the bricks and so forth. But notice one thing he says about it. If you don't worship, if you don't fall down and worship here, that you're going to be cast into there. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he is a powerful guy, and he'll see that things are done, because we look here in verse 10, I think we pick up here, and the king has made this decree that everyone shall hear these sounds, and he's got to fall down and worship here, this golden image. And the king really did not need, have advice from others. He knew what was taking place. But at this time, had the Chaldeans. Isn't it something? Here's the Chaldeans. You know what Daniel did for the Chaldeans? I believe it was in last week's message. You know, what was Nebuchadnezzar was going to slay every Chaldean, every wise man? He was going to kill him, slay him, behead him, whatever. And Daniel says, whoa, wait a minute. Now, don't get too hasty. I can get the answer. And in Daniel's work then, going to God and God giving the answer, he gave the answer to Nebuchadnezzar. He saved the lives of all the Chaldeans. Now, as they fall down and worship Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't do it. And so these Chaldeans come and they say, "Hail, King, there's these Jews." And then it's something, you know, they were saved by Daniel, and now they're accusing Shadrach, Meshach, the Jewish boys that was in the thing with Daniel, accusing them of not worshiping this image and so forth. Well, nevertheless, they remind Nebuchadnezzar that that's what you agreed to do. He didn't need that, but they told him. And he said, you know, whoever don't fall down. And he said, these certain Jews, they're not doing it. And they're not looking at they don't serve your gods. They don't honor you. They're not worshiping the image here. So we have piled on there, trying to pile on here of what's wrong that these needs to be done. And I can see, Nebuchadnezzar, he gets furious. And it says that he gets in a rage. And, you know, I know people gets angry and it says his contentness changed and people gets angry and so forth and their face turns red and swelling comes in the face, you know. He's in a real rage because here's somebody, you know, he's saying, and isn't it something, these Chaldeans, they come and it's interesting. They fall down almost here and worship Nebuchadnezzar. They say good things to him. Oh, thou king, live forever and so forth. And they're actually paying praise to him before they start then to do the dirty thing that they came to do. They were probably jealous. I believe that they were jealous of the Jewish boys being appointed to high positions. All four of them, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all were raised up into high positions. You might wonder where Daniel is. Daniel's probably off in the providence somewhere taking care of business. Because Daniel was appointed to the head over everything because of his wisdom. And these men also were wise and such, so they were appointed. So you can see then these Chaldeans said, actually what they were saying, you appointed these guys to these positions, Nebuchadnezzar. What they're saying, they're jealous, they're really showing jealousy. And they're saying, you should have appointed us, you know, instead of these. And another thing, these Jews, and that's why he calls them Jews, they're loyal to Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar, they're loyal to you. They're not worshiping you. They're not honoring you. They're in high position, and they ought to be leading people to honor you, O king. You can see that, can't you? But it's just a big jealousy thing that they have there. And they say, because they won't, then... You know, it's kind of like Pilate with Jesus, you know. Pilate really wanted to let Jesus go. He really did. But Pilate couldn't do it because of the clanging of the people out there. I don't think that Nebuchadnezzar, because of the character I see him, I don't believe that he really needed this urging from the Chaldeans. They were urging him to go on. He said, now you appointed them. They're in position. They ought to be honoring you. They ought to be worshiping your image. And they ought to be leading people to do that. That's really what Nebuchadnezzar was doing there. He was getting all the leaders of the areas there so that they then would lead everybody else to worship him and so forth. Well, he was very furious. But you know, I like this about Nebuchadnezzar. He gave him a second chance and he said, oh, call him to me. Call him to me. And so he asked. He said, you know, the question, he said, is that right? He says, you fail to worship the image. You don't serve my gods and so forth. And they said, no, we don't. Long story short, he says, you know, if you don't, the decrees went out and you'll be cast in the fiery furnace. And I like what they said. We are not going to serve. And I think they say this in a good sense. I don't think they were, you know, out of the way with it. They were just, you know, they have confidence in their God. They have confidence in God. They don't have confidence in Nebuchadnezzar. They have confidence in God. They serve God. And so they're not afraid, or, you know. A fellow was telling me in the last week at the restaurant that I ought to do this or I ought to do that, he said. And said, because, you know, something could happen to you. I said, well, I'm not afraid to die, you know. And I see this and I join in with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're not afraid to die. Because they say, oh, king, it doesn't make any difference to us. You can cast us in the fiery furnace, but let us assure you, we're not going to bow down and worship your image. We're not going to honor you and praise you. We're going to serve God. And it's really what they were saying. In other words, they're saying, we're going to make the choice. We're not going to serve the world. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was. He was running the world. He was a world figure. And everybody's do what he's saying. He said, we're not going to. He said, because we know that our God's able, he says. Now he says, our God is able to save us from the fiery furnace. If not, he's going to deliver us from you. And so, you know, we need that kind of faith, don't we? We need that kind of faith. We've got some people pressing on us. How many of you have read? And I was going to ask Noodle because he told me about this place to check it. And I really wanted to check it. The guy, the governor of California, anybody read what he's done this week? They have the bill up. They're going to outlaw selling the Bible. Anybody read that? It's there. I mean, I read it and so forth. And I just wanted to check to make sure that it is honestly true. I can't hardly believe it, but I'm believing it right now. And he says because it's angry against the other people of sexes and so forth and different things. I hope that's not, but I'm pretty sure it's. In fact, it's got a number on the however you do that, you know, of the bill that's going through, and not sell the Bible because it discriminates and so forth. And so he said, They said we're not going to do it. We know that our God is able to deliver us. And you know, that'll be a big lesson to us. Listen, you go through some pretty fiery things, I'm sure. Life has some pretty fiery times, so to speak. And we need that kind of faith that they have. Their confidence. And I think if we would recognize that, if we would really dwell on that a little bit more, be so confident of our God, He's able to do more than we can imagine. We are limited to our imagination to what can happen. But the scriptures teaches us if we could just imagine, we talked about in our Bible class this morning, as John saw in heaven and he saw the mighty God sitting on the throne and all powerful and such. And if we could just realize the mightiness of God and he has control of all things, things could really be different in this world and in our lives. Listen, world, we're not going to serve the world. We're going to serve our God. And if you cast us into the furnace, our God is able to deliver us from it. If not, He will deliver us from our hand. And we ought to have that kind of faith. That is a fireproof faith, and we'll see that in just a moment as we look farther. The rage. And Nebuchadnezzar tells him, said, okay, fire them furnaces up. And he says, make it seven times hotter. And we said this morning in our Bible class, you know what seven is? That's completeness. That's perfection and completeness. And so he's saying, make them as hot as they can ever be made. And you know, a stove can only get so hot until it explodes. So he says, make it just as hot as it can be. And so he gives the boys a second chance, and he says, now, young fellows, you hear the trump and all the things sound. If you'll fall down, he said, it'll be well. But if not, you're going to be cast in the fire furnace. And they said, oh, let it be done. We're not going to do that. So look at what it says. It says he got the mighty men of his army. He didn't get the weaklings. Why? He was afraid if he got some weaklings that they would be able, the three would be able to escape from him. And look what it says. They tied them up. They bound them. They were fully clothed. And they bound them. Tied them up. And now the fiery furnace is, you can just hear the roar, can't you? You can see the flames almost lapping out the doors. And the mighty men of the army, they have been selected. And they're going to do what the king says. They do what they're ordered to do. And as they go to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, it says those flames laps out to such a heat that it kills the mighty men. And so I understand, I've seen some furnaces and seen some incinerator furnaces and so forth, and they have kind of a little downgrade to them. Because you're firing them, it kind of helps you to feed them. And so I see the men as they come, they have them to go and thaw them in, and as they on the little bit of slope there, the flames gets them now, kills the mighty men. And now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're tied up. And so if you've ever played when kids tie up with cowboys and Indians, all that, and you get tied up and you can't move, you know, and you fall around. And so I just see then now as the mighty men turn loose of them, they fall then and fall into the furnace. They weren't thrown in. They fell into the furnace themselves. And then something happens. And old King Nebuchadnezzar, he gets excited about this. He's astounded. He can't believe his eyes. He has to run back to the Chaldeans and say, "Hey, fellas, didn't we throw 3 men?" He's not too sure what's going on, is he? He's not too sure what's taking place. "Didn't we throw 3 men in there?" And they say, "Yeah. Yeah, 3 men, O king." He said, "I see 4 men in there." Now, I don't know how Nebuchadnezzar knows it, but, you know, God can make us understand things, I guess, and he did with them also. But he said, "One of them looks like the Son of Man, Son of God." Isn't that wonderful? And then all at once he goes over to this. I would think that Nebuchadnezzar would be almost afraid to get over there, but yeah, he goes over and hollers at them. Someone has said, and I don't know, I don't think it's in the scripture, maybe some of the scripture, some Bibles I think has this in it, some of the paraphrase, some of the translations has it in there, or some of the paraphrased ones, I guess would say, has in there, that they were in the middle of the fire. So as you picture, they're in the middle of the fire and they're singing. They're praising God. Now, we didn't read that in there, but I mean, tradition and some others has recorded that, where they got. And who's in there? The Son of God is in there. You know what this tells me? Listen, folks, we're going to go through some pretty fiery trials in this life. But God is not going to pluck you out of them. He's not going to save you from them. I mean, in a sense. Get what I mean here in a minute. You see, if you remember Noah, God saved Noah in the flood, not out of the flood. God saved Joseph in Egypt, not out of Egypt. God saved Joseph in a famine, not out of a famine. You remember Elijah and the widow in the famine? God saved them, provided for them in the famine, not out of the famine. You with me? What's this tell me? The problems that you faced with, the troubles that you have to go through, you're going to experience some pretty tough things in life, folks. If you haven't, get prepared. You will before you leave this earth. But here's the great thing, isn't it? God won't deliver you out of those, won't save you from it, but he'll be in there with you. If you get nothing else, I want you to get that. When you get at a desperate place and you think there's no way out, when you get burdened down and so forth, you remember this. God's not going to jerk you out of it, but he'll go through it with you. You know, they knew that, what is that verse that goes, you know, I don't know, I had it in my mind now, I forgot it. But anyhow, he's a very present help in time of trouble. Yeah, help me out, folks. You know that verse. He's a very present help in time of trouble, brother. So when you're in the heated battle of life, don't give in. Don't give in. Because God will be there. His son will go through that with you. That's there. Now, Shadrach pulls them out. He doesn't pull them out. No, they walk out. You notice, and he says, Their clothes is not burnt. Their hair is not singed. You notice the one thing that's burnt? What's the one thing that was burnt in there? Anybody? Yell it out to me. You see it, Kathleen?
The rope.
Huh?
The rope.
That which tied them down. That which had them bound. Now, what about today? The world has so many people bound up, right? They're bound up in the things of the world. They're bound up in terrible situations. They're bound up in all kinds of things. And listen, they were bound up. They weren't free. But God freed them. That, God can do that. And so to an alcoholic, to a drug addict, to a whatever it might be, whatever difficulty it might be that you're facing, listen, God can unbind you. It might be a pretty tough situation, but trusting God, He will unbind those things for you. He'll be with you. He'll take the bounds off of you and set you free from those things. He'll bring you right out of that fiery furnace, folks, without a smell on your clothes of smoke or fire. Amen. Now, look what Nebuchadnezzar did. He says, your God's pretty powerful in so many words. He said, there's no other God like your God. No other God has that power. You notice one thing he's doing? You see something he is still doing? He is still recognizing his gods. He says, no other God. So what's behind it? He's still recognizing his gods. He says, there's no other God as powerful as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God. He's saying, you know, just at the beginning, what did he say? I'm the powerful. I'm the most powerful one. But now he's saying, there's nobody got the power that the God of this heaven they talk about. My gods don't have this power, he's saying. He never states here that he's the only God, does he? Never states that. Because he keeps on with my gods. He keeps on continually using Jehovah God, including them when he's talking about the gods. He's the most powerful. He's more powerful than other gods. Now he sets out a decree. Isn't this something? God changed his mind. He set out a decree. We're going to cast anybody in the fire furnace that doesn't bow down to this. Now get this as we close. Wouldn't America, wouldn't this world, if they could get this right here. He sent out a decree. Nobody say anything against this God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Boy, look at the day. Our God is so criticized. Our God is so put down by people. It's terrible. It's terrible. And this California thing bothers me, because if that takes place, it could snowball. There'll be these people who are against godly things that will work the feverest to the bee. But Nebuchadnezzar says, if anybody is caught saying anything about this God, what's it say he's going to do? They're going to be tore asunder. You know that torture? You know what he's saying right there? Going to be cut asunder. You know how he does it? I hate to say this because I don't like these drooly things, but I'm going to tell you this. Due to what is it you call those, when you pull the branch down and you make that deadfall, there's a name for that. But anyhow, Doodle's probably done that. I did that when I was a kid. We used to do that. You get a branch off a little branch and you pull that down and you make a deadfall down here and you catch that rabbit. Well, here's what he means when he's talking about that. And this is one of the practices that they did. This is, history records this. they would take and pull four trees together, tie them down. They would take one arm and tie here, one arm and tie there, one leg and tie here, and one leg and tie there. They would cut the rope, cut them to cinder. So now, these people know what Nebuchadnezzar is talking about. Now, isn't that something? If you say anything about the God of heaven, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're going to be cut asunder. And you know, if people would just realize, if our leading officials would realize, hey, God's over all things. You're not making this like it is. God's in control. He knows what's going on. Very good place Nebuchadnezzar learned that God was in control. And if they would put out the warning, listen, God has set precepts, God has set rules, He's got statutes that is right for us to live by, and anybody that condemns that will be cut asunder. Woo! Wouldn't that make them think? I think you'd have a second thought about saying anything about our God, the God of Creator, the one and only true God. And look at the last verse, what happened? Those with fireproof faith, they got promoted. That's God's way of doing things. If you will stay true to God and trust God, have your confidence in God, you'll stand against the evil forces of this world. He will go through them with you. He will deliver them from you. And He will promote you. And one day, He's going to promote us right into His heavenly home. Amen? Let's stand and sing. God is so good, isn't He? Amen. First verse only. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. And it's great to see guys and gals and men and women who love the Lord and just worship Him and honor Him as you folks do. Thank you. How encouraging that is. I hope you've been encouraged by being here this morning. God bless you. Hey, if you got time and you want to come tonight to our Bible study, we've been having some real, real good discussions about different things. Tonight's going to be a real good one. And won't tell you what it is. We'll surprise you if you come. But I look for this. It's going to be a real good study tonight. And I'm so glad that we have so many people now. We have several people coming, and they are inputting things, and that's what we want. We study together. It's not a preaching session, and we don't want it to be that. We want everybody to talk about it and get ideas and so forth. So that's great. So we've encouraged you to come and be that. Plan to be with us next week and next Sunday afternoon. Let us have a good group to go over to represent the church over to the hymn sing. And then this week, may God bless you in the greatest ways you have ever experienced. He's a great God and wants to do that. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that we have your written word and we're looking into how you deal with people and how things work. And we know, Heavenly Father, life's not easy here because of all the things that opposes us. But we know, Heavenly Father, if we'll trust you, that you'll be with us and you'll take us through all the things that we are suffering. You'll bring us home, dear God. We're confident of that. And Heavenly Father, we just pray for our nation, pray for the world, but Heavenly Father, that they could see the might and power and glory and the wonder that that exists in you. So now, Heavenly Father, we just ask that each one present here this morning, as we leave this place, go with them, give them a safe week, safe journey in the things that they go and places they do and things they say. Help all things work together for good for them, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name, and thank you for it. Amen.